Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Friday, February 28th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news stories from around Wyoming. A bill requiring clinics providing procedural abortions to be licensed as ambulatory surgical centers was signed by Governor Mark Gordon yesterday. The new law will likely cause the closure of the only such clinic in the state, Wellspring Health Access in Casper. It mandates the clinic's physicians to get admitting privileges for their patients at a hospital no more than 10 miles away from Wellspring. Julie Burkhart is its founder.
I am frankly shocked and incredibly disappointed. This is a bill that the governor vetoed last year in March of 2024. And we have virtually the same bill in front of him. Also, we have an ongoing court case.
That court case concerns a ban on abortion that's due to go before the state Supreme Court for oral arguments in the spring. Burkhart says Wellspring will be filing a lawsuit seeking a restraining order to stop the new law. She says patients who are scheduled to have procedural abortions in coming days will have their appointments disrupted. A bill that repeals gun-free zones in state-run buildings, public schools, and public meeting spaces across Wyoming was allowed to pass into law without Governor Mark Gordon's signature yesterday. That's after around 25 protesters staged a die-in outside of the governor's office this week, urging him not to let it become law. In his letter explaining his reasoning, Gordon said, quote, "Reflecting this legislature's lackadaisical effort to openly debate and work on this legislation before sending it to my desk, it is tempting to copy and return my same veto letter," end quote. Gordon said he did not do that because of recent elections, citing the right of the legislature to, quote, "drop a political bomb." Leaders of the Wyoming Senate announced this week that they would not pass the supplemental budget bill. Wyoming Public Radio's Chris Clements has more.
Several senators say this is the first time in recent memory that the Senate has declined to pass a supplemental, which is meant for unexpected circumstances in years between budget sessions. Jackson Senator Mike Garrew says he made his case to leadership about keeping the bill.
As a Democrat, while I understand their issues, there's a few things that I'm really going to miss out of that budget, but I always, and I'm disappointed, I am.
Those disappointments include a provision for tax relief for seniors and additional funding for preschools for kids with developmental disabilities. Lawmakers are looking for existing bills to serve as new homes for both of those policies, he says. But his concern, and others, is that not everything will be saved. Majority floor leader Senator Tara Nethercott says that's true, but adds,
I think that those things could have died anyway on a conference committee or continuing to work it out.
The supplemental budget could still be revived at any point between now and the end of the session next Thursday. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Chris Clements in Cheyenne.
A Laramie County judge has ruled that the state's public school funding model is unconstitutional. That's because it has not properly accounted for inflation. This is a win for the Wyoming Education Association. It sued the state in 2022. The association and others testified they cannot hire teachers because they cannot pay reasonable or competitive wages. Districts can't provide nutritious meal programs to their students, and student mental health programs are unable to attract and retain professionals, among other issues. The judge ordered the state to put more money into its education system and update its. He pointed out that 2025 is a recalibration year when, by law, the state reevaluates whether it's providing a modern education as required by the Constitution and figures out how much that education costs. The association says the legislature has failed to do so since 2010. There is a week left in the current legislative session where public education advocates argue that there are several bills limiting the amount of funds to schools even more. Otters are officially off of the state's list of protected animals. Governor Mark Gordon signed the bill into law on Monday. Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Haberman has more on what the future holds for the species.
Otters are now listed as non-game animals. That means Wyoming Game and Fish can manage the critters with a more hands-on approach, like issue permits to relocate or kill otters, but only in the case of conflict or scientific research. Dan Smith is the Division Chief of Wildlife for Game and Fish.
There would not be a commercial season. There wouldn't be a trapping season. There would be basically no authorized take without a permit from the department.
Marav Ben-David has been studying otters for over 40 years. She called the bill premature during a Senate committee hearing.
We do have otters in western Wyoming, in the Green River, Snake River, and Yellowstone National Park. We do not have viable otter populations elsewhere.
Ben-David said otters are an indicator of river health and should be allowed to expand. The bill was signed into law and is effective immediately. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Haberman.
A Powell-based artist is among those receiving the Governor's Arts Award today. Wyoming Public Radio's Olivia Wheats reports.
Mike Capriva likes to work with acrylic paints and enjoys painting Western landscapes outdoors.
And I love doing mountain landscapes. I did a lot of climbing when I was in my younger years and went up the Grand Teton 5 times and 3 times up Devil's Tower, and we did a lot of that stuff. So that was very inspiring for me.
Capriva also paints portraits, and some of his sculptures and murals can be seen in Cody and Powell. His giant mural of scenes and people of Wyoming can be seen at the state capitol. He says a big driver for him as an artist was the encouragement he received from his family. 6 Wyomingites will be honored at the Governor's Arts Award banquet in Cheyenne. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Olivia Wheats at the Center of the West in Cody.
And now let's hear from Ivy Engel with some lighter stories from around Wyoming.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. A downhill skier with Jackson roots recently tied one world record and broke another. Wyofile reports Breezy Johnson recently came back to racing after 14 months out. As part of the U.S. ski team, Johnson took on the world championships in Austria. She nabbed the gold in the women's downhill by just 0.15 seconds. Then, less than 36 hours later, Johnson teamed up with Michaela Schriffen to win the team combined gold medal as well. She now has tied the record for world medals with 15 and broken the record for golds with 8. In other skiing news, the University of Wyoming Nordic ski teams recently pulled out their own gold wins. At a race in Colorado, both the men's and women's competitions were decided by tiebreakers, which UW won. A Casper Center for Disability Services has been recognized with a regional award. The Casper Star Tribune reports the Child Development Center provides families with guidance and disability services from birth until age 21. The center was recognized by the Daniels Fund for its Medal of Excellence Award. And according to home warranty experts at Cinch Home Services, Wyoming has the second largest average home size in the country. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And now for today's trivia question. Who was the first African-American woman to serve in the Wyoming State Legislature? Send us your answers for all 5 of this week's trivia questions to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com by Sunday at noon. And we'll crown winners on Monday. That's it for today. Thanks for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Join me again tomorrow. And remember to subscribe to get Wyoming Debrief automatically downloaded to your phone and start your day on an informed foot. While you're there, please consider leaving us a review so that other people can find us.